So last week I shared with you Gentiles in the synagogue. The synagogue is a predominantly Jewish place. Yet keeping in mind, when you look at Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, it's not that the synagogue was the synagogue of Satan, but it was that the Jewish people who said they were Jewish were residing there. That's a whole other story for another day. But Gentiles were in the synagogue. They were learning about Moses. They were learning about Yeshua. And yet, what gets conveyed today about Yeshua versus what was conveyed about Yeshua 2,000 years ago, I would say if you went back in time, you would not recognize. Or if they came up in time, they would not recognize what's actually been transpiring. So the Jewishness of Yeshua tends to be ignored by the majority of believers. Why is this? I can give you many reasons, but for starters, I would say that there is a lack of teaching of this reality in the body of Messiah. This isn't something that is focused on by those who teach, because in my opinion, they don't consider it to be relevant or even important. In some instances, they may be a result of anti-Semitism. I can say this because I've witnessed it firsthand myself. Secondly, I don't know if those who are teaching within the body of Messiah truly get the importance of Yeshua's identity. His Jewishness has been purged from the gospel message to the point that even his perceived appearance has changed as well. When looking at renditions of what people believe Yeshua to look like, he is not olive skinned, but rather fair skinned, and in some instances with blue eyes. More of a Western European look than a Mediterranean look. But I digress from all that. We could be spending hours talking about how did we get here. But that would not answer the question or convey the dynamic of Yeshua's Jewishness. So as we look at some of the many scriptures that conveys Yeshua's Jewish identity, let's first do what is done in Rabbinic Judaism today. Look at his parents. So Yeshua's adoptive father, Joseph. What does it say about him? Luke chapter 2 and verse 4. So Joseph, because he was a descendant of David, went up from the town of Nazareth in the Galilee to the town of David called Bethlehem in Judah. Who's the David here? David the king. He's of a royal line himself. Joseph is descended from David, king of Israel. But some may argue, well, he is only his adoptive father, not his real biological father. Okay, well then let's do this from the rabbinic position. We'll look at the mother's line. We'll look at Miriam. Because we know that within rabbinic Judaism it says that more emphasis is placed on the mother in relation to the child and the father, even though that goes against scripture, for the simple reason it's easier to prove who the mother is than the father. So what do we know about Miriam? Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 31. Look, you will become pregnant. You will give birth to a son, and you will name him Yeshua. He will be great. He will be called Son of Ha-Elyon. Adonai God will give him the throne of his forefather David. And he will rule in the house of Yaakov forever. There will not be an end to his kingdom. So Miriam would have a son whose forefather. What's another term for forefather? descendant. Miriam is descended directly from David as well. So in the court of public opinion or in the court of rabbinic opinion, we've proved the maternal connection of Yeshua to Miriam. That makes him Jewish. Okay, sermon over. Have a wonderful day. Okay, yeah, you can eat. Let me take it a step further, though. How do you prove the Jewishness of Yeshua through Adonai? DNA. The rabbis are supposed to be the struggling comedians, not the sheep. DNA, yeah, if you can get God's DNA, let me know how that works. I'll give you another means, though. His word. Exodus 4:22. Then you are to tell Pharaoh, Adonai says, Israel is my firstborn son. And that Adonai brought forth Israel as a nation and identified them as my firstborn son. And Yeshua would be identified as his only son begotten of by the Father. We go to John 3:16. Yes, this isn't just a church verse only. For God so loved the world that he gave his only and unique son, so that everyone who trusts in him may have eternal life instead of being utterly destroyed. It would be through Israel, Adonai's identified son, that Yeshua, Adonai's only and unique son, would appear to the world. Not as an Egyptian, not as a Persian, not as a Grecian, not as a Roman, but as a Jew. I could have gone on. There's 230 plus nations that exist today. He appears as a Jew to Moses. Adonai conveyed his connection to him through his ancestry. Exodus 3:6. I am the God of your father, he continued, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzhak, the God of Yaakov. Moses covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. So there is a connection that God makes through his people. Israel, his firstborn, yet Yeshua, his only and unique son. And the angel of Adonai would convey the following to Miriam. How can this be? Luke 1:34. Asked Miriam to the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered her, the Ruach HaKodesh will come over you. The power of HaElyon will cover you. Therefore, the Holy Child born to you will be called the Son of God. Keeping in mind, you have the DNA of God residing within you. The same spirit that came upon Miriam resides in you as well. So I've given you three aspects of proof as to Yeshua's parentage. I believe this is sufficient to prove that he's Jewish. We could go on, and on the eighth day he was circumcised. We could go on, in 12 years he was in the temple, showing that he was ready for adulthood, because he even amazed the rabbis with his responses and with his questions to them. We can even go even further and provide you with the genealogy of Yeshua, whether it's Mark 1 or Luke 3. In Matthew, the genealogy of Yeshua starts with David and Abraham. In Luke's gospel, it goes all the way back to Adam and to God. Because in verse 38 it says, of Enosh, of Shet, of Adam, of God. There are many prophecies regarding Yeshua and his throne. Because ultimately his throne will be in Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be the capital of Israel, as it is today. It will be that way whenever he returns. To where I read these verses to you earlier today. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. Dominion will rest upon his shoulders. And he will be given the name Pe'el Yoetz, El Gibor, Avi Ad, Sar Shalom. In order to extend the dominion and perpetuate the peace of the throne and kingdom of David, to secure it and sustain it through justice and righteousness henceforth and forever. The zeal of Adonai will accomplish this. So we already know that Miriam was descendant of David. Yosef was descendant of David. God established David's throne. And ultimately, it would be Yeshua who would ascend to David's throne. And then it goes back to Isaiah 11, starting in verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of its roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Yet he would not start on the throne. Yet throughout the Gospels we see Yeshua living as a Jew. I gave you a few examples earlier. And then Luke chapter 4. In verse 15, where it starts, it says, he taught in their synagogues, and everyone respected him. He went into the synagogue every Shabbat. Now, when he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, on Shabbat he went into the synagogue as usual. He stood up to read, and he was given the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of Adonai is upon me, therefore he has anointed me to announce good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the imprisoned and renewed sight to the blind, to release those who have been crushed, to proclaim the year of the favor of Adonai. He's in the synagogue. He's reading from the prophet Isaiah. Not something that you would see throughout the world at this point in time. But you would see it in the synagogue, wherever there was a synagogue in a city. And then the wonderment of the people as he was reading. Because it said he sat down. All the eyes were focused on him. And in verse 22, everyone was speaking well of him and marveling that such appealing words were coming from his mouth. They were even asking, can this be Joseph's son, whom they knew as a child? Throughout his time with us, he would live as a Jew, honoring Shabbat in the synagogue, the Moedim in the temple, to the point where we come to his last Passover in Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 14. When the time came, Yeshua and the emissaries reclined at the table, and he said to them, I've really wanted so much to celebrate the Seder with you before I die. For I tell you, it is certain that I will not celebrate it again until it is given its full meaning in the kingdom of God. Then taking a cup of wine, he made a bracha and said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. To the point that Yeshua would not conclude this Passover Seder until the kingdom of God comes. That is when it is finally established with a throne and a king on the throne. Not in Rome, not in Mecca, but in Jerusalem. Is everybody getting an understanding of the theme here? Ezekiel 43, starting in verse 1. After this, he brought me to the gate facing east. There I saw the glory of the God of Israel approaching from the east. His voice was like the sound of rushing water, and the earth shone with his glory. The vision seemed like the vision I had seen when I came to destroy the city. Also the vision where, like the vision I had seen by the river Kivar. And I fell on my face. Adonai's glory entered the house through the gate facing east. Next, the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner courtyard. And I saw Adonai's glory fill the house. I heard someone speaking to me from the house, and a man was standing by me. He said, human being, this is the place for my throne, the place for the soles of my feet where I will live among the people of Israel forever. The house of Israel, both they and their kings, will never again defile my holy name by their prostitution, by their corpses of their kings or their high places, or by placing their threshold next to my threshold and their door frames next to my door frames, with only a common wall between me and them. Yes, they defiled my holy name by the disgusting practices they committed, which is why I destroyed them in my anger. He's in essence going back to go forward. This is what happened, but verse 7 says, this is where my throne will be. This is where my feet will rest. This is where the Messianic kingdom, the kingdom of Messiah, will be real and visible to all, for which all the nations would come to worship him. And when Yeshua returns to establish his kingdom, he returns to Jerusalem. And he will fight for Israel as their king. Zechariah 14, verses 3 and 4. Then Adonai will go out and fight against those nations, fighting as on a day of battle. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which lies to the east of Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives will be split in half from east to west to make a huge valley. Half of the mountain will move toward the north and half towards the south. He's returning to only one place. He's setting up his throne in only one place. And then all the nations will come and worship the King of Israel in Jerusalem, during a moed, during an appointed time. Zechariah 14, 16 and 17. Finally, everyone remaining from all the nations that came to attack Jerusalem will go up every year to worship the king, Adonai, and to keep the festival of Sukkot. If any of the families of the earth does not go up to Jerusalem to worship the king, no rain will fall on them. So we're talking about a time way after the resurrection. Yet after his resurrection, Yeshua is seen as the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the offspring of David. Revelation 5:5. One of the elders said to me, don't cry. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has won the right to open the scroll and its seven seals. For which even after the resurrection, identity still exists. As does Yeshua's identity as the king of the United Kingdom of Israel. In essence, the kingdom of God. Revelation 7, 9, and 10. After this I looked, and there before me was a huge crowd, too large for anyone to count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language. They were standing in front of the throne and in front of the Lamb, dressed in white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. And they shouted, "Victory to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." The Lamb of God sits on the throne of God, and there are not two thrones, but one throne. And there is only one throne and only in one place. A nation established by Adonai, amplified by the presence of Yeshua as King of Israel, for which nations still existing, still having an identity, will honor him in Jerusalem. Adonai loves the nations in that he is able to identify them, just as he's able to identify Israel. And before you tell me that I am elevating Israel above as a sign showing Adonai's favoritism, let me correct you on something. I don't believe that that being Jewish makes one better than another. Sometimes people are offended. Well, what makes you so high and mighty? I don't claim to be high or mighty. I was born a Jew. God opened my eyes and it was like, I don't get it, but that's fine. I'll do what you tell me to do. God loves every child of his from every nation. There's no middle wall of partition. Ephesians 2. Through him, any person from any place can come into the presence of Adonai because of the sacrifice of Yeshua. Yet being Jewish is anything is a calling and a responsibility for which has been placed by Adonai to be a light to the nations. Isaiah 49, 5 and 6. So now Adonai says he formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Yaakov back to him, to have Israel gathered to him, so that I will be honored in the sight of Adonai, my God, having become my strength. He has said, verse 6, it is not enough that you are merely my servant to raise up the tribes of Yaakov and restore the offspring of Israel. I will also make you a light to the nations, so my salvation can spread to the ends of the earth. We got to go to the Jew and the Gentile too. It's like, wow, one's hard enough. But the answer is, yes, Lord. If anything, we have double duty. Israel and the nations for whom we are to be a light. We are to be the light of Messiah. To where when Adonai calls, he does not change his mind. And using Shaul's paraphrasing, he does not change his mind to the Jew first, but also to the nations. He doesn't change his mind. In concluding Romans 11, Shaul conveys this, because in Romans 11, he conveys where Israel is and what their function and what their role is and what it is in relation to the Gentiles, to the nations. Being grafted into the olive tree that is Israel. Being grafted into the commonwealth that is Israel. For he conveys, for God's free gifts and his calling are irrevocable. If you've been called, you can't turn it down. You can run, but you cannot hide. You can run far, you can run fast, but you will never outrun God. For his calling is irrevocable. Just as you yourselves were disobedient to God before, but have received mercy, now because of Israel's disobedience, so also Israel has been disobedient now. So that by your showing them the same mercy that God has shown you, they too may now receive God's mercy. This is Shaul speaking to Gentiles in Rome. Don't be prideful or arrogant against the Jewish people. They were disobedient once. Guess what? So were you. Don't forget that. Same thing when God tells Israel, remember that you were once foreigners in the land. Verse 32, for God has shut up all mankind together in disobedience in order that he might show mercy to all. Oh, the depth of his riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. How inscrutable are his judgments. How unsearchable are his ways. For who has known the mind of Adonai? Who has been his counselor? Let me share some things with you. I think we can do this better. Here's my input. To where God said to Job, where were you when I was forming the world? Verse 34, again, for who has known the mind of Adonai? Who has been his counselor? Or who has given him anything and made him pay it back? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. It's not for us, but it is to glorify him through accepting his call. Let me repeat that. It isn't for us. His call isn't for us. But it is to glorify him through accepting his call. We are most certainly beneficiaries as a result of his call. Yet it is for his glory, not ours, that we persevere. That is to continue in a course of action, even in the face of difficulty, or with little or no prospect of success. That last line was the definition of perseverance. To continue in a course of action, even in the face of difficulty, with little or no prospect for success. Yet we continue. Yet it is not through our own strength that we serve, but through the empowerment of the Ruach HaKodesh, that we serve the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the Messiah Yeshua, King of the Jews, for which he will return. So there's much to his Jewishness. There's much to his identity. Well, he's King of the world. Yes, he's King of the world. Yes, he's Savior of the world. But keeping in mind, when you look at the Scripture, it oozes his Jewish identity. Oozes. I don't know what the Hebrew is for ooze. Might be Yiddish, I don't know. The point that I'm getting at is everything that we are looking forward to, we are in essence preparing for a time when he will return, not to America, not to Mecca. But keeping in mind, wherever you are, you will see him when he appears. He was mocked for being King of the Jews, but he did not deny it. Yet how come many deny his Jewishness? Many pay no attention to it. Many consider it irrelevant. Yet if it was irrelevant, why is it throughout the Brit Chadashah? Why does it connect him to David? Why does it connect him to Abraham? Why does it connect him to the Jewish people? To the point that when he returns at the end of Matthew 23, he says to the leaders, he says to Israel, you will not see me again until you say, who is the you? The you is the Jewish people. Until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I've just thrown a monkey wrench and a pipe bomb in your eschatology. I've just blown it up right in front of you. Yet keeping in mind, Israel was a light to the nations. And what is happening now, whether they know it or not, the church is a light to the Jewish people. The Jewish people are coming to faith in Messiah not because of anything else other than God opening their eyes and starting in a church. But when you recognize the call that God has placed upon you, and it took someone to tell me what it was, your call is to your people. That you can't remain where you are, but you have to, in essence, follow what that call is. It wasn't for my benefit, it's for His. He's using me for His glory. He's not elevating me to a place of fame and riches. Keeping in mind, I've been called more names in the book than our current president has. It is a lot. So we serve because we're called. And our calling comes from the King of Israel, who, yes, is the King of the world. Hence, we closed our worship time with the song, You Are Holy. And ultimately, part of the verse was, choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. You have a better idea of who the Lord is now. You probably knew quite a bit about Him before, but you know more about Him now. And my prayer for you is that as you go through the Brit Chadashah, as you go through the New Covenant writings, that the Jewishness of Messiah, the Jewishness of the Gospels, the Jewishness of God's relationship to the Jew first, but also to the nations, just comes forth out of the pages as if you're looking at a hologram, a 3D image, because that's how dynamic this connection is. So if everybody will please rise. Adonai said to Moses, speak to Aaron and his sons and tell them that this is how you are to bless the people of Israel. You are to say to them, Ivrecha Adonai vishmerecha, Yayer Adonai penevela vichunecha, Yisei Adonai penevelecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine His face upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord manifest His presence to you and give you peace. In this way, they are to put my name on the people of Israel so that I, the Lord, will bless them. He's saying, put my name on Israel. Another connection between God and Israel, between Yeshua as being Jewish and being the King of Israel. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time that you have set apart, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for who you are. For you are not ashamed of who you are, and we should not be ashamed of who you are, nor should we be ashamed of the gospel message, which is a Jewish message that started in Jerusalem, went throughout Judea, turning the tables on their end, then going to Samaria, the northern tribes, and then going to the far reaches of the world as it does to this day, Lord. For where it went forth, it is now returning back to the land. For there are many Messianic Jews in the land, and there are more Jewish people in the land now than there have ever been throughout history. A sign, Lord, that we know you are returning soon, because you are preparing the nation for your return, Lord. For we have sent off two of our own who made Aliyah back to the land, Lord. And Lord, may you protect them on their journey back. And Lord, they will have front row seats upon your return. How blessed will they be. Lord, may you be honored and may you be glorified. In Messiah's name we give thanks, and together we say, Amen. Chairs go around the table, and we will do Kiddush in about 5 minutes.